Blog Talk Radio.
For joining me and Austin here tonight for The Right Way. Austin?
How's it going, everybody? Malik, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. It was a tough week, but I'm all right. I'm okay.
That's good.
Yeah, we have a great show in store for you guys, so I'll let Austin take it away.
Hi, guys. Hope you had a good week. First round of the playoffs are up. Wild card round, and four great games this week. The lower seed winning in each of four games, which was very impressive to say the least. Unfortunately, that included Cincinnati and them going down. And I don't have a very happy co-host right now, but thankfully Bama winning the championship the next day helped them out a little bit. So, Malik,
Tide. Had to say that. I'm sorry. Had to give that shout-out to Alabama.
All right, so we're going to start off, and this was the biggest win out of the four games, and that was the Chiefs at Houston defeating them 30-0. J.J. Watt coming out of that game with an injury. So that's what we got going on right
now. Technical difficulty right now. Okay, sorry about that.
All right.
Continue, Austin.
Normally, how do you feel about the Chiefs Houston game?
It was a good win for the Chiefs. I saw the Chiefs winning that game. I didn't think the Texans had a strong enough offense to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. I wasn't really too shocked about that. I just kind of feel bad for the poor guy, J.J. Watt. He worked so hard to get to this point. And, a lot of people can say that he kind of breathed new life into that football team, especially into the defense. He got them going towards the end of the season there, and that's why they were able to make that late playoff push. So, I kind of feel bad for the guy, but all in all, I don't think he has anything to be ashamed of. And congratulations to the Chiefs. They definitely deserved it.
Yeah, I mean, I think two big takeaways from that game are, one, the Chiefs are definitely a legit team. And, they may not have Jamal Charles, but when you have a game manager quarterback like Alex Smith and he makes all the right decisions, you always got a shot to win. And I think the other takeaway from that game is that if I'm a Texans fan, you have to look at the quarterback position because Brian Hoyer is just not going to get it done. And they're definitely going to be looking at someone for the draft. And, J.J. Watt's a great player, but, how many years are you going to have him on your team? And if he's not happy, how much longer is he going to want to stay in Houston? I think he'll stay. I don't think he's that type of guy to go for money. But I definitely think that J.J. Watt, he's your best asset. And if you're not surrounding him with talent, you're going to be hurting. And Arian Foster has to stay healthy for Houston if they ever want to go deep in the playoffs.
Absolutely. I can't agree more.
All right, so now the night game from that day was the Pittsburgh Steelers beating Cincinnati, and I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about this one. So, Malik, take it away.
This game, it was your classic AFC North football game. Smash mouth, dirty, hard hitting. If you guys ever wanted to see or wanted to know what AFC North football was about, you missed it and you didn't get a chance to see it, you definitely missed a thriller this past Saturday, as I believe that the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, described to the T, and they played to the T on exactly how AFC North football should be displayed and how it actually is. So, you know, it was a tough loss, me being a Bengals fan, but, you know, there are a lot of positives to take from this game as well. And, I was probably a little hard on my team, you know, about the game. But when you look at it, when it comes down to it for me, two teams can make the Super Bowl. And, you know, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, Austin, I feel like in today's media and today's NFL, a lot of these coaches, we see a lot of coaches, you know, and fans, you know, kind of, you know, coming down hard on their coaches if they don't make it to this, you know, the Super Bowl or to the conference championship or, however far. But when you look at it, you know, even though you didn't make it that far, you shouldn't throw away a remarkable season. And I think that's what today's NFL, I think that's what we do. We tend to do a lot, you know. Marvin Lewis, you know, obviously he didn't get where he wanted to be. He didn't get the exclusive playoff win that he's been vying to get for the past 13 seasons, but he did accomplish a lot with this football team this season. And I think that, you know, it was a tough way to lose. No doubt we had the game in our hands, but when you look at it across the board, I think that this team, this city, they have nothing to be ashamed of. They had a great season, and you know, in the words of Andrew Whitworth, you know, it's time to saddle up and get ready for next year. So that's really all I got to say about that. You'll be hearing more about it. I got a few people emailing me questions for me to answer tonight. So that's my take on that, Austin.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I don't really want to get too into like analyzing all the hits in that game because, frankly, I think when you know, as the media, when we just look at that and we criticize every single hit that these guys are making, I mean, yes, there were a lot of scrums in that game, but I mean, if we analyze every hit and say, was that intentional, was the guy just playing hard, I think it takes away from what that game actually was. And Malik, you said it best. That was an AFC North smash mouth game. I mean, no one was expecting each team to put up 35 and 30 or anything like that. That's how the game of football should be played. You know, one mistake and you could be out of the game. I mean, Burfict makes a great interception, but you know what? Pittsburgh responds, and I just feel for that team because one fumble, one loose ball away, and that game could have turned out differently. And I think one thing, and I think it comes from the Minnesota game where you appreciate, like, how well your kicker can do. And that's, like, you know, if I'm a Steelers fan, Boswell made a clutch 35-yard field goal. You know, he's not that experienced just yet, but to make a 35-yard field goal with 14 seconds left to send your team to the next round of the playoffs is a big deal. And if I'm a Bengals fan, and Malik, like you said, you got to take pride in your season. You know, anytime you're winning more than 10 games in a year, you got to take pride in it. And I'm glad Marvin Lewis isn't losing his job because he doesn't deserve to lose his job because there are plenty of coaches that are worse than him that keep getting opportunities when they shouldn't. And I think a great example of that is Jason Garrett for the Cowboys. I mean, I don't know how you could consider firing Marvin Lewis when the guy is, I'm looking at his stats right now, well above 500, almost by 20 games in the win-loss column, and I guarantee you Garrett is nowhere close to that. And yet the Cowboys fans are always giving Garrett another year. Jerry Jones always giving him another year. Meanwhile, Marvin Lewis, just because he can't win in the playoffs, all of a sudden he's a terrible coach. And you can't take away bad seasons. The Bengals have won 10 games or more in the last four seasons, and they're still a great football team regardless of their playoff record. So, Bengals fans, you got to wait another year, but you guys are on the rise. This was your best year yet, and hopefully next year no fumbles at the end of the game and you guys can get a win. But our next game, we go to Seattle, Minnesota, and that was probably the most heartbreaking playoff game that we experienced this week with Blair Walsh missing a chip shot field goal to end the game, and thus Seattle winning 10-9. I liked the game. It was a cold weather game. You got to see players play in a completely different environment. Malik, what were your takeaways from the Seattle Minnesota game?
I agree with you 100%, Austin. This was a great football game. But if I'm facing, if I was facing either team next week, I wouldn't judge, you know, when they go through, you know, game film. I wouldn't judge their performance in this game. This game, they were playing in some harsh conditions, and you know, I wouldn't put too much stock in the way either team performed. It was a great football game, very low scoring. You know, it's sad to see the Minnesota Vikings lose like that, but I mean, things like that you can't control. Things like that you cannot control, and it's just one of those unfortunate things that happen in the game of football. Yeah, you know, I think you said the laces were in. I believe, mm-hmm. a lot of people we take for granted, we take for granted extra points and field goals, and we just automatically think they're a given. But I always felt this way growing up. I felt like being an NFL kicker is probably one of the hardest jobs. And I've heard a lot of people have said to me, what are you talking about when you say that? And my response has been, that's the only job on the field that you actually get to really think about, like, analyze and dissect what you're going to do, how you're going to hit the ball before you actually do it. That's the only job in the NFL you actually have to think about what you're going to do before you actually do it. And so the nerves, you know, maybe, you know, you put a lot of pressure on yourself, and you know, that's not even counting, you know, the pressure that the team is putting on you, the fans putting on you, you know, it's a hard thing to be an NFL kicker, because, you know, one missed kick can shape your career, and one made kick can also shape your career. It's give or take. But like I said, it was Minnesota. You guys have nothing to be ashamed of. Mike Zimmer's got that team training in the right direction. Teddy Bridgewater, I think you've grown this season tremendously. Despite the fact a lot of people want to see the bigger plays from you. I think Minnesota's got their franchise quarterback. I think that they're trending in the right direction, and I think that this team will be a whole lot better next season. So watch out. But
yeah,
Right now, we actually have a caller on right now. I don't want to keep them on waiting too long. Just want to see, you know, what questions they got for us. So here we go. Thank you for calling into The Right Way with Austin and Malik. Who am I speaking with?
Speaking with Michael.
How you doing, Michael? How's it going?
Hi, Michael.
How you doing, man? I'm doing all right. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
We're doing good. We were just dissecting the wild card round, and, you know, we were definitely in for an exciting round. And I assumed you called because you got a question for us or something, so have at it.
All right. So from what – well, you guys don't know this, but I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, and this past weekend – facing the Redskins. I mean, I can honestly say I was a little shocked on how we played. Not because of how much points we put up and all of that, but just that at, you know, on a given moment we were able to turn everything on. Like, we were good on all aspects of football. So with this game coming up against the Cardinals, I'm not expecting us to get blown out again, obviously. But with the recent comments of Aaron Rodgers saying that, you know, the pressure's all on the Cardinals, we're in their house, and, you know, they have to have a great performance again. What do you think about that statement he made?
Austin, have it.
Well, I think the Packers, and anytime you're a road team, one of the biggest things that you have to do is you have to be able to run the ball effectively. Because if you could run the ball, take time off the clock, see what the defense is giving you every play, and then stack them in the box and then be able to run play action and get your wide receivers open, they'll be able to play effectively. And I agree with you. I think the Packers surprised a lot of people. I personally had the Redskins winning that game. But if the Packers can run the ball, if you could give Eddie Lacy the ball and have him run up the middle and then get the ball to James Starks and hit the outside, they ran the ball, I'm seeing right now, I think they ran the ball 32 times in that game, averaging 4.4 yards a game, compared to Washington only running the ball 18 times that game. I think if the Packers can establish the run, then you're going to free up Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb, and Aaron Rodgers will have a lot more time in the pocket. You got to protect Aaron Rodgers. You got to be able to run the ball. And I have faith in them, and I think it could be a lot closer game than people are predicting against Arizona.
I think it's two very good football teams going at it. And it comes down to, for me, like Austin said, it comes down to the running game. But, you know, not really. And reason being is because, it's in Arizona, am I right? And it's going to be in a dome. So, weather won't play too much of a factor into the game. Well, it's not going to play a factor at all into the game. But I think this comes down to who can execute better, can execute their game plan better. And for me, I think I'm going with the Cardinals in this game. And the only reason I'm going with the Cardinals in this game is because it comes down to being healthy. It comes down to, you know, also having the weapons and, the people to take those strides. And, you need your best players to put big in these type of situations. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure if Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams can come up big in these moments. I mean, we're talking about the Redskins, but, you know, they were struggling in the beginning with the Redskins. But you know, you go from playing the Redskins to playing the Arizona Cardinals, that's a totally different ball game. I think Arizona has more firepower, more manpower, and I think that I do think it's going to be a lot closer. I do think Aaron Rodgers is going to be motivated. But as I've said countless times on the show, Austin and Michael, Aaron Rodgers is no Tom Brady. You know, he can't do it by himself. He can't, you know, instantly make guys around him better. The guys around him have to play better. And that also includes that defense. And, if I'm not mistaken, the Green Bay Packers are starting some young corners back there. You know, you got to have an answer for Larry Fitzgerald. You got to have an answer for, you know, for all these weapons, Michael Floyd, and you know, and the list goes on. Michael, did I say the name right? Michael Floyd. Yeah, Michael Floyd. You know, the list goes on. You got to have answers for these people, and I'm not sure that the Green Bay Packers have answers for them. And that's not to take away from that organization. I just think that I think, like I said, I think in this game especially, the loss of Jordy Nelson will come back to haunt the Green Bay Packers. It'll be a lot closer game, but it will have the same ending with the Cardinals winning the game. And that's, like I said, that's just my opinion. You have any more questions for us, Mike?
Just for, I guess, entertainment value when it comes to the other games.
Okay.
Which games are you guys most looking to see, or, you know, it's like an, you know, one of those games that you're detailing into a lot?
I'm very, very excited for the Seattle Seahawks versus the Carolina Panthers, and reason being is because a lot of people, I mean, Cam Newton's had a great season. Can we all agree there? There's no objection. He's an MVP-like season. However, if you guys saw the interview I saw, Richard Sherman, he didn't say anything to leak it. But when you look into his eyes, when you see how ready he seems to be for this game, I think that the Legion of Boom has a certain confidence about them that everyone's overlooking. Now we all can agree. Beating the Legion of Boom is possible, right? Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely this year.
Beating them twice, then you're playing with fire. The only team that I believe that I've seen do that, and their divisional team, is the Rams.
Right.
Now, me personally, I think Cam Newton is a terrific athlete, but I think the lack of weapons could come back to haunt him in this game. I think the Dab Master might have, run out of dabs in this game. I'm not sure if he can, beat the Seattle Seahawks twice in one season. I think that's just a little too much to ask of him. And I fully anticipate with them having, the experience over Cam Newton. And mind you, they're the ones that you know, put a brick wall in front of Cam Newton and the Panthers last year. Am I right?
Right.
I think Seattle in the regular season and Seattle in the playoffs is two totally different animals. And I think that Cam Newton. I don't think Cam Newton's winning this game. I think the too good to be true season. I think it ends this week. So that's what I anticipate. But this is all my opinion. Austin, take it away.
I gotta agree with you. I mean, I have the Seahawks making it. I have them not only beating the Panthers, but winning that conference, whether that's the Cardinals or whoever coming out of that. And I held my breath when Blair Walsh took that field goal because I thought my whole entire prediction for the Super Bowl would have been off. But I think, yeah, just to change the conversation a little bit, in the other game, out of the two AFC games, I got to say the Steelers and the Broncos, only because Roethlisberger injured, but he's playing anyway. You got Denver, Peyton Manning. You want to see if Peyton Manning is going to be able to make a final run in the playoffs, or if he's just going to come out as a dud. And if Osweiler is possibly going to be talked about coming off the bench, depending on how Manning's playing. And then Antonio Brown's hurt. The Steelers are completely banged up after the Bengals game. So you want to see a lot of different things, but it's not only the Steelers coming out, but I want to see if Peyton Manning has the ability to lead the Denver Broncos, or if no matter what happens, they're losing to the winner of the Chiefs-Patriots.
Agreed. Mike, right. I want to thank you for calling in to The Right Way. Thank you for always supporting us, man. It's a pleasure.
No problem.
We greatly appreciate, you know, you supporting us, and we look forward to hearing from you soon.
No doubt. You guys have a good one.
Thank you.
You too.
All right.
We now have another caller calling at this time, so I want to jump right into it. Thank you for calling into The Right Way with Austin and Malik. Who am I speaking with?
This is the one and only Randy Zellia from BackSportsPage.com.
Randy! Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Guys, listen, This is gonna be definitely a more interesting weekend than it was last weekend. I was not impressed with any of the games last weekend. I thought some of the endings were fun. Yeah. Let's look at this, boys. Okay. I've been around the NFL now for more than a cup of coffee. So, you know, from that perspective of.
I think we might have lost Randy. We lost Randy. Hopefully he calls back. But we're gonna jump right into the next topic, which is the coaching vacancies happening around the NFL. And I'm gonna let Austin take it away.
All right. So. Bunch of head coaching news just coming out of today. First off, Chip Kelly going to the 49ers. We've talked about Chip Kelly plenty on this show, but Malik not a fan of him. I'm not the biggest fan either. And then Adam Gase going to the Dolphins. Coughlin removing his name from the Eagles search. And McAdoo going to the Jets as well, hiring the offensive coordinator. So a lot going on, Malik. What do you think is the biggest hiring?
Well, sorry to stop you right there. I think we just got Randy back.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you got me back. I don't know what happened there, boys. Sorry, I'm in traveling mode. I apologize. Really quick, just to touch on the coaching situation. I cover the Giants. I'm in the locker room. I talk to the coaches. I talk to the players. I was hoping. See, I didn't agree with the Coughlin firing to start. So hard for me to be on board with the Bob McAdoo signing.
Yeah.
I'm a huge proponent of look at the talent that you had compared to the coaching job you had to do. And that defense, that Giants defense, half those guys won't be in the league next year. That's how untalented that defense was. Steve Spagnuolo did a good job with them, but you're now at a point where you're putting the blame on the guy who got the guys to play above a level that they're capable of playing, or do you fire the guy who gave you those players instead of drafting better and doing a better job, getting you the talent that you need? Apparently the Maras and Steve Dish didn't want to go that route, and they fired the wrong guy in that sense, in my opinion. So I'm not a huge fan of the McAdoo signing. I'm glad that he has a good relationship with Eli Manning. From, you know, before we came on the air, Malik and I had a talk about, you know, separating that fandom from the journalistic side of it with the Bengals. From my perspective, the fan in me is happy that at least my star quarterback is going to have a coach that he's able to work with. From a media perspective, and from, like, you know, overall unbiased view of it, I'm not a huge fan of the hire because I don't know. I don't know if he has what it takes to bring out the best of his players. So that's just me. I talked to Bob McAdoo in the past. He's a smart guy. I think he's going to be an excellent head coach in this league. I'm just not sure if it's going to be with this franchise, with this group of guys that he has.
Agreed. Well, now, I've got to ask you, Randy, what do you think about the hires around the league, you know, other than the Giants? What do you think about, you know, say the Browns hire, the, you know, with the Buccaneers now possibly hiring their cutter? You know, I'd love to get your feedback on those.
The Cleveland situation is really interesting, and again, because it comes down to Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel being, you know, they're telling him, the new coach is telling him, Jacksonville, I don't want him on my team. Okay, so you don't want him on your team, so what does that mean now? That means they're going to look to trade him. He doesn't want to be in Cleveland. Johnny Manziel's issues in Cleveland have nothing to do with his off-the-field antics. Doesn't have anything to do even with his play. I think the problem is leadership in the locker room. He didn't have, with all due respect to Josh McCown, Josh McCown is not the type of guy who is going to say, to teach him the ins and outs of an NFL quarterback. I think you needed to have a real veteran in there to be able to show Johnny Manziel over the last two seasons the way to handle yourself as a pro. By him acting the way he did, caused enough of a stir that his own head coach couldn't control. So when you're hiring your new coach and he sits there and says, I don't want this guy on the team, and he makes it a point by saying, I'm not taking the job unless this guy's off the team, your franchise is putting a lot in your coach and giving up on a guy who might have been able to really help you on the field. But we'll definitely see how that plays out over the next few weeks.
Okay, fair enough. Austin, you got anything you want to ask, Randy?
Yeah, you know, staying with the Browns, I'm reading right now one of the big stories with the Browns is going to be Josh Gordon coming back and how Hugh Jackson wants to deal with that. And it's interesting because, you know, they're getting rid of Manziel essentially, or they're planning to get rid of him because he's a nutcase in the locker room and he's not really setting a good role model. But then you have Josh Gordon, who's had his run-ins with the law a couple times now, violating the league substance abuse policy. But Hugh Jackson loves long threat wide receivers, and he, right now he's noncommittal with either side. Do you think that he's saying he's noncommittal, but there's really one way to go about this? Or do you think, in all honesty, that, you know, Josh Gordon going to the Browns is a 50-50 call, and there's really no way for management or Hugh Jackson to make that call this early in the game before Josh Gordon technically cuts back into the league and Goodell makes his decision?
I think it's too early to tell because, you know, he's still going to have to meet with Goodell to get reinstated. I think it's interesting because now you have some decisions to make. If you're the Cleveland Browns, do you say, I want to start over and get only good guys in here that this city can be proud of? Or do we want to keep guys in here that are going to cause ruckus? You know, one of the biggest things with the NFL, and you guys can disagree with me if you guys want, or fight me on it or not, because I'm just throwing this out there. The reason why you don't hear a lot about Major League Baseball players and not as much with NBA and hockey players getting into trouble is because they don't have as much downtime as NFL players do during the week. They practice, and yeah, they have team meetings and so on and so forth, but at the end of the day, they go back home. And if you're a 20-something-year-old male and you're single, and you want to go out there and still live your life a little bit because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a job and you're making money and you want to go out there and have a good time. You're not going to just sit in your apartment the whole time or sit in your house the whole time. That's where the trouble begins. And, you know, there's in smaller cities like Cleveland, and I was going to say St. Louis, but they just moved to L.A., but you have smaller NFL cities, there's not a lot of things to do besides go to the games and or go to the center of town. So that's where a lot of these players end up getting in trouble. So you're asking Gorg if Cleveland's going to give him another shot. I think they'd rather have a team of good guys and a little bit less talented than have one or two really talented guys who cause nothing but headaches. So I think it's a wait-and-see process for them. But if they give him a cord, it's going to be a very short cord or a leash. If they give him a leash, it's going to be a very short leash to work with. Because if fool us once, shame on you. Fool us twice, shame on me. That's, I think, Cleveland's attitude right now when it comes to him.
Well, you know, I agree 100% with you. But Cleveland has given him multiple opportunities. However, you know, I think Hugh Jackson, when he took this job and he said that he wanted Johnny Manziel out of there pretty much, I think he was just looking at the fact that, I mean, we all can agree, Johnny Manziel does not want to be in Cleveland. And at this point, you know, it's not a far-fetched idea that he staged this whole thing just to get out of Cleveland. That's how I personally feel about it. I feel like the guy never wanted to play for Cleveland. And I go back to his clip when he was drafted and the interview he did with Deion Sanders when he got drafted in the first round. The look on his face looked like he was disgusted. Like, this is not where he wanted to be. He was kind of like basically, he looked like a two-year-old when you put him on timeout. That's the face he looked like when, he was drafted to Cleveland. But could you blame him? Cleveland has a history of not, you know, let's go past Johnny Manziel. Cleveland has a history of quarterbacks not being able to retain quarterbacks. I mean, we got the Brady Quinns of the world, the Colt McCoys, and they haven't done a good job with, finding that guy to be, you know, starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And I think Johnny Manziel, personally, I feel like he never wanted to be in Cleveland. I think Hugh Jackson realized that, and, you know, so this is why we have this, you know, happening right now. I mean, Johnny Manziel is as good as gone from Cleveland. I feel like he'll be released. I think his trade value is very low. Only person I can really see trading for him is the Dallas Cowboys, but like I said, that remains to be seen. Randy, I want to thank you for calling in, man. Thank you for, asking us some questions. I mean, asking us questions and also answering some questions we have for you.
Well, I have one question for you guys before I leave. Where do you guys think, in your opinion, I have mine, but where do you guys think that RG3 ends up?
I say Philadelphia.
Okay.
I think he's coming to Dallas, and although I agree, Malik, that he could fit in Philly, and I also think it wouldn't be surprising if the 49ers look at him too, with Chip Kelly going there, because he could run that offense. He could run that up-tempo offense like he did at Baylor. So
the only reason why I didn't say the 49ers is because there was a report that came out today that Chip Kelly wanted Colin Kaepernick as his quarterback so bad that whatever team he was going to become the head coach of, he was willing to trade for him. So I think that he's not going to create a quarterback frenzy. I really think that he's going to stick to his guns and, stick with Colin Kaepernick. As crazy as that sounds, I think he really believes that, you know, he can really, work with Colin Kaepernick. So, I mean, hey, we'll see.
Right,
I mean, the guy thinks he's a mastermind.
But I want to say something, though, about the San Francisco 49ers, and I want you to really think about this. Before Mr. Harbaugh got there, this team had gone through coaches every single year, and similar to some a lot of these other teams like Cleveland, is that they've gone through quarterbacks. You know, so just like the coaching and quarterback carousel that a lot of these teams need to go on, I don't know if, you know, you also have to answer to your, you know, your biggest clientele, which is your fan base. Yeah, you have sponsors and ad revenues, people you have to speak with and try to please, but you have to also go with your fan base. And if your fan base doesn't want somebody there, you have to listen. Now, the fans in Minnesota were very forgiving to Adrian Peterson. I think that's very obvious. But can this fan base be forgiving to Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick? So that's going to be the real question, because not for nothing, you know, his behavior off the field has been in question a lot during his NFL tenure. So I leave you guys with this. You know, guys like RG3, who did everything right, didn't complain, didn't say anything bad, he played the game. In Washington, he sat on his butt this year, wanting the opportunity, never got it. And it must have killed him even more to see Kirk Cousins take him to the playoffs in the NFC East division. So, you know, RG3 is deserving another opportunity just as much as Tim Tebow deserves another opportunity. Just because they deserve another opportunity doesn't mean they're going to get it. So, guys, I leave you with that. Have a good rest of the show. And you guys know if you guys need me, I'm always around.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
That, going back to that, you know, I agree with what Randy just said. However, I do think that RG3's talent is undeniable, and I think that he definitely will get another shot. I think when it comes down to it, if Jerry Jones had to pick either Johnny Manziel or RG3, I fully expect him to pick Johnny Manziel, because he said in numerous reports of how regretful he was of not going after Johnny Manziel. And, you know, he's looking for that guy, you know, to basically replace Romo. And so, I do think both of these guys can be in play, but I fully expect Johnny Manziel to be the guy he goes with. He's a hometown guy, and, you know, I do want to see how he does as a Cowboy.
I think it's interesting, Malik, because they're both hometown guys. If you think about it, they're both from Texas. And I think looking at this year's draft, not having a lot of quarterback candidates, if you could get a guy like RG3, like Johnny Manziel, they're, you know, 24, 25 years old. They've seen NFL defenses already. You know their talent. They know how to run an offense. I think I would lean towards RG3 simply because he's healthy and he hasn't had any off-the-field issues. I would lean towards him, but no matter what, I see both of them as being better picks and better guys for any roster rather than taking some guy out of the draft who you don't know their capabilities.
Agreed. Now, Austin, I got someone asking me a question right now. They'd love me to answer this. And the question reads as follows. Let me pull it up for you right now. The question reads, do you believe Marvin Lewis deserves to stay with the Cincinnati Bengals? And who will have a better season, Hugh Jackson, the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns, or Marvin Lewis? Austin, I'm going to let you answer that first, and then I'll give my little spiel on it.
Well, the second half of that question is absurd. There is no way that Marvin Lewis is going to perform worse than Hugh Jackson by any means. I mean, it depends on how you look at performance. If you look at win-loss record, I mean, there's a 99.9% chance the Bengals finish better off than the Browns this year or next year. But performance-wise, if Hugh Jackson can get that team on track, then you're different characteristics and stuff like that. But I will also say that Marvin Lewis does not deserve to lose his job. I don't care what you do in the playoffs every year. If you're winning, if you're going 10-6, and that's your worst year in the past 4 years, if you go 10-6 for the last 4 years, you go every single year, there are a lot of NFL teams, a lot of NFL fan bases that would have no problem going 10-6. The Jets going 10-6 this year, they didn't even make the playoffs, and the Jets fans are happy with that year. And there are a lot of other teams that are too. So I don't think Marvin Lewis deserves to lose his job yet. I think if it becomes a five-year thing, 5 years in a row, and just every year they're losing heartbreaking losses at the end of games in the playoffs, then you got to look at it. But still, I don't understand how you get rid of a coach who's making your team better, took your team from a from a single-digit win team to consistently a favorite in your division and in your conference every year?
All right. That was a pretty good answer. Now, you know, I hope that this isn't true, Austin, but you know the video game Madden, right?
Yeah, yeah, I know. I've played a game or two, I guess.
Well, I was playing a little bit of franchise mode on it, and I was the coach. I happened to be the coach of another team, and for some reason, the Cincinnati Bengals. Marvin Lewis is still the head coach. I was in like my third season, and the guy went 0-9 in the playoffs. The guy was 0-9 in the playoffs in the video game. Because, you know, the video game tracks the real-life stats as well, so it adds on to it. And while me watching that, I literally had a moment where I was like, I pray that this isn't like Madden, you know, telling me the future. But, no, on to a serious note, to answer those questions, I don't think Hugh Jackson will have a better season. Reason being is because Marvin Lewis is one of the – I want to say one of the few NFL coaches that can adjust, you know, to change, you know, fairly easy and fairly make it very smooth. You know, when you look at it, they only need to replace about two positions. Hugh Jackson is in for some rocky roads in Cleveland, but it's what he signed up for. He knew what he signed up for, and I think when you talk about Cincinnati Bengals. They're set. They just have to put it all together. When you talk about the Cleveland Browns, they're a little bit, you know, shaky right now. They don't know exactly what they have. But when the next question becomes interesting. Now, and the question was, do I think Marvin Lewis deserves to keep his job? Now, hear me out. I've said this on the show many times. Marvin Lewis has been the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals since I was in second grade. Since when? Since I was in second grade. Since when? Since I was in second grade, I'm now a junior in college. He's been there for 13 seasons, and they're bringing him back for a 14th season. He's 0-7 in the playoffs. And after the game, I was heartbroken, and I said, if this man is not fired by the morning, I will not support this football team going into next season. No, I will support them, but from a distance. Those are my words. Now, when I woke up that morning, the next morning, he was not fired. Okay? I was looking to see Marvin Lewis is fired as the Bengals coach, but I did not see that. You know what I saw it said? Can you guess what I saw it said, Austin?
I could guess, but I'd like to hear you say it instead.
I saw the Bengals are not going to fire Marvin Lewis. They will retain the head coach. Now, that angered me to no end, but I had to actually sit down and take a breather. And over the course of the next few days, I reviewed the tape of the game. I watched the football game. And when you look at it, you can't blame Marvin Lewis. Okay? You can't blame Marvin Lewis. He put the team in a position to win the game. Now, the past playoff losses, it's debatable. But this one was clearly not his fault. I was the main person saying, fire this guy. You've heard me say it on the show too, Austin. Fire this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer our viewers' question, I never thought I'd say this, and I was content on not talking about it. I'm all in on Marvin Lewis coming back as the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals next season. I'm all in for it. I mean, he got us to the point, but we just had a mental breakdown. Jeremy Hill, you got to hold on to that ball. Vontaze Burfict, you can't make that illegal hit. Pac-Man Jones, whether you admit it or not, you can't push a ref. And that's what it comes down to. You have to play within the white lines. And I think it's just as simple as that. And I'll take anybody up on that debate. Marvin Lewis should still be the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. If they were going to fire the guy, they should have did it last year, not this year, because this year was truly not his fault. So that's all I'm going to say about this, Marvin Lewis. The Who Dey Nation and me, we're proud to have you as our head football coach. I honestly believe in my heart, our football team is going to come back bigger, better, and stronger next year. Andy Dalton will be back to, you know, to his full routine and the swing of things. And I think our main focus now as Cincinnati Bengals fans, now hear me out. This is a message to all the Bengals fans that do listen to this podcast. Our focus should not be on trying to crucify our coach and get him fired. Our focus should be on retaining and re-signing these players that are set to become free agents. We have 15 free agents right now. That should be our focus. Sign these guys so that we can get back to this point. Sign these guys so we can get back to the possibility of, you know, actually making a Super Bowl run. Continuity is the key to success in the NFL. And the Bengals have showed that. Now, if you want to ask me a different question, like, should the Bengals bring Adam Pac-Man Jones back next season? That's another question. I'm not going to answer that. And for me not answering that, you should already know what my answer is. But to say Marvin Lewis should be crucified and should be fired, as much as that will be the easy answer, as much as that will be the easy way out, he doesn't deserve to be fired. And I'm happy that he's coming back for a 14th season as a Cincinnati Bengals head football coach. And that's all I got to say about that.
If I could just comment real quick, I mean, I don't have a problem with his coaching at all. I think you said it best, and the announcers after that game said it best, that there was no reason that Lewis should have been fired. I mean, the actions that were made in that game and the reasons why the Bengals lost that game were out of his control. Jeremy Hill, you just got to hold on to the football. If Jeremy Hill holds on to the football, none of this happened. We're not talking about this at all. The Steelers lost like they were supposed to lose because on paper they should not have won that game, but they did. And we wouldn't be talking about two personal foul calls, 30 yards making a guy's field goal kick. It may have been 50 yards. They would have had to maybe even run another play. But no, they had a 35-yard field goal, which in this day and age, unless it's Blair Walsh and it's negative 6 degrees outside, you should be making that kick. And I think the bigger problem, and I'm not saying this is a Marvin Lewis problem, but it may just be an organizational philosophy that I have a problem with. And Malik, I would love to hear your comments from a fan perspective. Is the Bengals just do not, in my opinion, sign the right players. And I'm not saying every player, because Andy Dalton was a great sign. Giovanni Bernard was a great sign. But time and time again, they sign guys that should not be playing on an NFL team, regardless of the talent, because on the field and off the field, they make very crucial errors. And I'm not just talking perfect, because what bothered me in that game was every single TV timeout, every single turnover on downs or anything like that where the teams were switching, the camera was always on this guy, and the announcers were always saying, look who's in the scrum again, look who's talking to the ref, look at this, look at that. And it was always the same guy, Vontaze Burfict. And I don't understand how you can be a fan of this team and see a guy like that who, yes, he's good. Yes, he made plays in that game, but some of his actions are outrageous. And I don't know how I could be a fan of a team like that. We were talking about with Hugh Jackson and, like, who the Browns should sign next year and what does the organization want to portray to their fans. And guys like Pac-Man Jones and Burfict, I don't care how good they are. There comes a time when you have to say, like, what kind of football does your team want to play? Because there are plenty of teams in the NFL that play hard football. The Seahawks play hard football. The Panthers play hard football. Basically, any team in the playoffs in the NFC play hard-nosed football. And none of those guys are getting personal foul calls every single time. You don't see that with the Legion of Boom. They're not going out there and hitting guys in the head every time. They're playing hard defense. Richard Sherman may talk, but he is playing good defense every single time. He is shutting guys down, and he's not getting personal foul calls like some of these other guys. So as much as you want to say this isn't Marvin Lewis's fault, I think there's a greater problem in that organization. It's that they have this belief that they could take that they could take guys with off the field issues and make them great players again. We saw it with Cedric Benson in 2008, and afterwards there's like this insistence that we can make these guys great again. And as much as you want to see that and have it be a heartfelt story, a Cinderella story, I don't think that's always the case. And I think if you get rid of these players and you replace them with hard-nosed guys that play the game the right way, maybe that'll make the difference in the playoff game. Yeah, that'll make the difference between the Bengals being a 12-win team but never making it past the first round of the playoffs.
Can I comment?
Go ahead, please.
You see, this is where you're wrong. The Cincinnati Bengals, you take away that personal foul. I'm sorry, wait, hold on. You take away that fumble. You take away that Jeremy Hill fumble. We wouldn't be having this conversation about Vontaze Burfict and the penalties he had on him in this game. We wouldn't be talking about Pac-Man Jones and the penalties he had on him in this game. We wouldn't be talking about their off-the-field issues. You know what they would be talking about? The fact that the Cincinnati Bengals were a top-10 defense this year. They would also be talking about the fact that Vontaze Burfict, top-5 linebacker in this league. If you take that fumble out of the equation. Now, granted, I will say as a fan of the football team that a little bit of what my team does is excessive. Pac-Man Jones, you can be excessive sometimes. Vontaze Burfict, you can definitely be excessive sometimes. But generally speaking, they play within the white lines. Pac-Man Jones, where I have a problem with you is not on the field. Not on the field. Because that was classic of him just defending his teammate. Joey Porter had no business as a coach. Okay, Joey Porter needs to realize that he's not a football player anymore. He needs to realize that he has no business as a coach on the football field. Pac-Man Jones was defending his teammate. Well, I have a problem with Tom Pac-Man Jones is the fact that he's been in the league for, 10 years now? And it's like you can't get it through the guy's skull. Those videos you put on your Instagram after the game, are you serious? You as a veteran in the NFL, you should be smarter than this. Vontaze Burfict, where I have a problem with you at is not playing outside the whistle. Anything you do inside the whistle, I'm fine with. But outside the whistle is where you get yourself in trouble. I don't think my football team in no way, shape, or form has a problem organizationally of changing players. Oh, no. I think where the problem comes in at is I think, you know, a lot of people want to, probably people fail to realize Pac-Man Jones hasn't really cut up too much these past three, five seasons where he's been with the Cincinnati Bengals. Vontaze Burfict doesn't have problems outside off the field. His problems a lot of his problems come, you know, with him being excessive on the field, pretty much. But to say that the Cincinnati Bengals, organizationally, you can change plays. You can take chances. Prime example, look at Tyrann Mathieu, you know, the honey badger for the Arizona Cardinals. The guy was kicked off the LSU football team, but because a guy named Bruce Arians, who's a stand-up coach, took a chance on him, you haven't heard a peep about Tyrann Mathieu since. Same thing with the Cincinnati Bengals. There was a player by the name of Chris Henry who had off-the-field troubles, but Marvin Lewis took a chance on him. The guy turned his life around. The guy turned his life around and was playing great football, and unfortunately he faces untimely death. But the fact of the matter is the Cincinnati Bengals take players consistently, you know, who may have these off-the-field troubles that people see them as, you know, as nothing in the league anymore, and they turn them into something. They take chances on these guys. So, Austin, I do disagree with that comment. You know, you mean to tell me you take Vontaze Burfict and you take Adam Pac-Man Jones off that football team, as you're alluding to, as you're saying the Bengals should basically kind of do. You take those two guys off the football team, the Bengals do not have a top-10 defense. A lot of people fail to realize that for the past, 10 years, the Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the most dirtiest, you know, football organizations in the NFL. How many broken jaws did they give the Cincinnati Bengals player? But as soon as the Cincinnati Bengals get a player like Vontaze Burfict, and I've always said this, Vontaze Burfict will make the perfect Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker, in my opinion, because he plays like a Pittsburgh Steeler. But it just goes to the what the old saying, Austin. You know, you can't take the heat. You know, basically get out the room. Pittsburgh Steelers are getting a dose of their own medicine when they go against Vontaze Burfict and these new Cincinnati Bengals. Unfortunately, it costs them. But I have no problem with the way Vontaze Burfict plays inside the whistle. I have no problem with the way Vontaze Burfict plays because, like I said, if Jeremy Hill holds on to that football, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We would be praising Vontaze Burfict for the clutch interception that he made as a linebacker in the NFL. Never, not to mention Vontaze Burfict, this guy's coming off of knee surgery, you know? He's coming off of knee surgery that, you know, a lot of people didn't even believe he was going to come back for 100% from. This guy is making strides. Unfortunately, he had a slip-up, but if you're asking me, I would not trade him for the world. I would not trade him for the world. I do not have a problem with the way he plays on that field inside the whistle. But Pac-Man Jones, off the field stuff, off, you know, the videos that you come out with, that's got to stop. Because you're an NFL football player. You're a professional. You should know how to act. And I that's all I got to say about that, Austin. I really don't think that the Bengals have a problem with getting talent that don't know how to stay off the pop or stay out of trouble. I think we're just singling out two guys. Because here's what we got to realize, Austin. Also, one play or one flag doesn't decide the game. Am I right?
Well, I don't know about that because if Pac-Man Jones doesn't get that second penalty or Burfict doesn't hit him like that, that's 30 yards. I mean, you're asking
so
the Steelers with 20 seconds left to throw a ball 20 yards down the middle and then kick a field goal while having to spike the ball. You know, that is different.
So here's what I'm saying. I hear what you're saying, but here's what I'm saying. Marvin Lewis, poor coaching. You were already in field goal range. You could have took three knees and gave the Steelers back the ball with about 13 seconds left. But no, you didn't want to do that. Now, you take the Burfict hit into the equation, okay? But the flag Pac-Man Jones, the flag Adam Pac-Man Jones for what? For pushing they say he pushed the ref. He was trying to inform the ref. Now, if you're going to throw a flag on Pac-Man Jones, inside the rules, if we're talking football, right, Austin? If we're talking football, inside the rules, if you're going to throw a flag on Adam Pac-Man Jones, you should also throw a flag on Joey Porter, thus making it offsetting penalties and, just tacking on the Vontaze Burfict penalty.
No, I completely agree. I mean, Pac-Man Jones should not have been penalized at all in that game.
And if he was going to be penalized, it should have been two penalties, thus making offsetting penalties. Another problem I had, that hit Ryan Shazier put on Giovanni Bernard, hitting him with the – I don't care if he was if he wasn't a defensive receiver or not. The NFL rule book states you cannot lead with the crown of your helmet.
Well, when they had that live on TV, I think they had Pereira in the booth, and Pereira said it's not a defenseless hit penalty because Giovanni Bernard took two steps. But everyone's saying that's not the problem there. The problem is that he led with the crown of the helmet, and I agree with
exactly.
You again. That should have been a penalty. And people saying it's because he was defenseless, that's not the problem with that call. We get Giovanni Bernard caught the ball, turned around, there were at least two steps in that. That's fine. No one's debating that. And no one's, and I agree with you that Pac-Man Jones should not have been flagged for that penalty. And if anything, Joey Porter should have been involved. And I'm surprised that Joey Porter hasn't faced further discipline from the NFL, which he should, in my opinion. But again, my point is, and going back to why I brought up the issues with the Bengal philosophy in the past, is if you look at things, maybe the Bengals have succeeded in some aspects. And I agree, Vontaze Burfict, great player. We wouldn't be talking about this. We wouldn't be talking about any of the penalties or anything if the Bengals won the game. But at the end of the day, if I'm a Bengals fan, and I know you are, and I'm just saying hypothetically for me, I'm frustrated, and I'm looking at things, I'm saying, what's not working? And in my opinion, if we can't win playoff games, then I start looking at the coaching. And if the coaching is taking players like this that cannot finish games properly, then you have to question if they should be coaching at all. And this isn't the first time either. It's not just these two guys. I'm looking at the Bengals sets. They were third in the league over the past 10 years in arrests. They don't always get the best guys on their team. Andre Smith, John Skelton. Remember a guy by the name of Chad Ochocinco? Not really the best in that locker room. It's one thing if you talk the talk, but if you can't perform, if you can't walk the walk, then people are going to be questioning who signed you and why you're in the NFL in the first place. And it's come to a point with the Bengals where there's more talking and less doing. It's always, will the Bengals come back this year? You don't see this problem with the Patriots. You don't see this problem with the Broncos. They never have issues like this. And if they have an off-the-field issue, they correct it because that's why they're in the playoffs every year, and that's every year they're winning. So the only reason I bring this up is we're trying to pinpoint what is wrong with the Bengals. Why are they not winning in the playoffs? And at some point, you can talk about the personnel. You can talk about all these different things. And I think as media, you're just looking at another facet of it, and that's the players. And I know we'll disagree on that, but I'm just saying in other successful teams, you don't see this problem. And I got to say, in my opinion at least, that this is contributing to the issue, and it may be Marvin Lewis's philosophy.
Well, your point well taken. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we have run out of time. You know, me and my co-host Austin, who also happens to be my best friend, you know, we get ratcheted up, we get into these debates. But, you know, I love it. I love it. And, you know, I just want to thank you all for tuning into The Right Way here on Blog Talk Radio. And you can, you know, you can email me any questions you have at therealmalikwright@gmail.com and my Facebook, Malik Wright. Also, you could tell them your information as well.
Yeah, again, austin.mayo@gmail.com if you want to email me, check out our my Facebook. And also, big news this week, we got our own Facebook page, so you can check that out too, The Right Way with Austin Mayo and Malik Wright. Shoot us a like. You can comment on our posts. We're always posting questions and stuff like that. You post suggestions as well. We'd love to hear from our fans.
Absolutely. Austin, another great show, brother. And thank you all for tuning in for The Right Way. Look forward to hearing from you soon, and we will continue this conversation, this very, very heated debate next week as you join us here on Blog Talk Radio, 8 p.m., here live for The Right Way. Thank you, guys, and have a great day.